I do want to wish you a happy St. Paddy's Day, St. Patrick's Day. How many of you get fired up about St. Patrick's Day? I see most of you are wearing green. Again, I would have worn green today if I knew I was going to be on stage in front of you this morning, but I apologize for that. I offended you greatly, I'm sure. Well, technically, St. Patrick's Day is not a legal holiday in the United States, but it is, of course, widely celebrated here with wearing green clothing, as I see there. Also with feasting and big parades and lots of alcohol consumption, and especially green beer, which is unnatural. But beyond all the Lucky Charms, the leprechauns, and the shamrock shakes, what is the big, well, the shamrock shakes are a big deal. I'm Bordeaux-fying Randy's message. He's not going to worry about it. I just will tell him not to listen to the podcast. Let's have a problem with the recording today. What is the real big deal, though? Who is St. Patrick? Why do we celebrate this holiday in his name? Well, learning about the real St. Patrick should truly give us even more reason to celebrate St. Patrick's Day when you find out who he really was. And so today's message is this: what can we learn from St. Patrick? And God's timing, as always, is perfect, because just as we finished our Not a Fan series, which was all about becoming a completely committed follower of Christ, here we are. God has arranged it so that the following Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick embodies everything that we learned in the Not a Fan series. So today we're going to see our next step as Christ followers after the Not a Fan series through the example of St. Patrick. So who was this guy? All right. Well, he is known as driving the snakes out of Ireland, but of course that's just folklore. And sometimes it can actually be pretty hard to distinguish the facts from the legends, the man from the myth, when we're talking about St. Patrick. But it seems that the things that are clear is that Patrick was actually born in England. Maybe you didn't know that. He was actually born in England over 16 centuries ago in AD 385. He was raised in a fairly well-to-do home, but at age 16, his life was turned upside down when he was captured by Irish pirates. They took him to Ireland, and they sold him into slavery there, where it would be his job to tend sheep. But Patrick's slave master, he was a Druid priest. Christianity had not reached the shores of Ireland yet. The Druids were a powerful pagan sect that ruled the religious life and all of Ireland at that time. They had a reputation for sorcery, divination, and even human sacrifice. Patrick's upbringing had been among Christians in England, and yet he had not been raised in a particularly religious home. But his enslavement, which lasted 6 years, changed all of that. It drove Patrick to seek and find Christ. It transformed him into a devout Christian. He came to see it as a test of his faith. During those 6 years, he devoted himself to constant prayer, and one night, Patrick said that he had a dream that encouraged him to escape slavery. A heavenly voice in his dream promised him that if he'd find his way to, that he should find his way to England, and that he would make it. Patrick escaped and finally made his way back to his home and to his family. Then, as a free man, Patrick studied and entered into the priesthood. One day, Patrick said that he saw a vision of the children of Ireland reaching out their hands to him. And that vision captivated Patrick's life and eventually changed Ireland to this day. He became consumed with the idea of freeing the Irish people from paganism by converting them to Jesus Christ. Eventually, he was consecrated as Bishop of the Irish and was sent to convert Ireland to Jesus Christ. When he arrived in Ireland, he was met with hostile resistance from the Druids, of course. But Patrick was convinced that God was with him, and he became unstoppable. Through his preaching, teaching, writing, and through performing countless baptisms, Patrick gradually began to convince the pagan Druids that their idols were false gods and that their belief system had enslaved them to the devil. But by embracing Christ, they would become free children of God. For the rest of his life, Patrick converted the Irish to Christ. He elected church leaders, created councils, founded monasteries, organized Ireland into church districts, and then he died in 461. Now today, St. Patrick's Day is celebrated in Europe, especially in Ireland, as a religious holiday with church attendance, even if it's on a Tuesday. One man transformed a whole nation for Jesus Christ because he had a vision and a calling from God, and because he was obedient to it. The vision and story of St. Patrick embodies our vision and mission here at Stony Creek Church. And so what we're going to do today, on your outline, you want to take that out and take some notes with me today. There's a lot to go through. We're going to have a good time doing it. We're going to look at two St. Patrick's Day lessons, two things we can learn that we can apply here at Stony Creek Church about 1,600 years later. Number one is follow the pattern of St. Patrick's life. Follow the pattern of St. Patrick. And so let's look at the pattern, what St. Patrick did. The first thing is that he focused on his vision. You want to write that down. He focused on his vision. Patrick had a huge vision, a vision of reaching an entire nation for Christ, a nation steeped in sorcery and pagan worship of idols. But what could he do? He was only a shepherd slave who, by his own admission, was not very well educated. But he knew Jesus Christ, and Jesus had given him a vision for reaching these people, a vision that transformed his life and transformed the future of an entire nation. One Christian with a vision is more powerful than 1,000 Christians with no vision. What is a vision? A vision is a picture of a future reality. A picture of a future reality. A God-given vision is a picture of the way God wants something to be, the way he wants it to be. It's a target, a destination that we fix our eyes on, no matter what obstacles are in our way. Do you have a vision for your life as a believer? Do you see a picture of the way God wants you to be? A target that you're working toward? This church has a vision. Back in 1990, God gave a vision to Randy and another group of people at that time. Back then, there was no Stony Creek Church, but 23 years later, we're still just beginning on that road leading toward that picture. The best is still yet to come, because God's vision of the way he wants it to be is still out there in front of us. The next part of the pattern of St. Patrick that we want to follow is to be consumed with mission. He was consumed with his mission. Patrick could not get that dream, that vision, out of his head of those children in Ireland reaching for him, wanting to be free from the slavery of this pagan worship. He knew he was just one man with many limitations, but he also knew he had a job to do, and he devoted his life to doing it. Now, if the vision is the destination, all right, then that's like the Emerald City shining, you know, out there in the distance. You remember that. If that's the vision, then the mission is the roadmap. It's the job description for how we get from where we are now to where we want to go. It's basically the yellow brick road, all right? Vision is the Emerald City. Mission is the way you get there, what you do to get there. It's the yellow brick road. And so that's what we want to follow. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go. But let's look at the third pattern in St. Patrick's life, and that is that he was courageous for Christ. He focused on the vision. He was consumed with his mission, what he had to do. and he was courageous for Christ. From a human standpoint, Patrick's vision looked like trying to move a mountain with a teaspoon. Let's say God gives you a vision to reach your entire high school for Christ. That's a big vision, but it's not as big as Patrick's. Let's say he gives you a vision to reach your entire workplace. Let's say it's GM, to turn every GM worker into a believer of Christ. That's a big vision, but Patrick's was bigger. His vision was to reach an entire nation, an entire country. And worse yet, or harder yet, was that it was deadly. It was dangerous. The people were hostile toward him. But Patrick knew that until God says, it's time to go, our time is up, we are invincible. God makes us invincible until he's ready to call us home. And we can do whatever he's called us to do. And so Patrick was courageous. In one lifetime, Patrick did more than all the Avengers could ever pull off together. That's a Randy Rehm joke. So maybe that would have gone better with him, but I don't think so. I shouldn't kid. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, all right. One person, leading one person to Christ at your school, leading one person to Christ at your workplace can have a huge impact. Just like Patrick had a huge impact in a nation. One person, if they're courageous for Christ, you can be that one person. You can lead that one person. You guys can go off together and you can see real change. This leads us to our main idea. This is where he put it. Not in the beginning, not at the end, right smack dab in the middle. It's the one thing that you want to remember. I'm going to say it just like him. Here we go. This is the one thing you want to remember. If you forget everything else I say, and if you're taking notes, and I sure hope you are, you'll want to write it down. Goes like this. Been practicing that a while, just waiting for the opportunity. All right, here it is. Celebrate, you've had it up there for a while. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day by following his example 24/7, all the time. Not just today, but every day. Don't just wear green, although that's lovely. Don't just march in a parade or guzzle a shamrock shake. Go do those things, especially the shake. But instead of just doing those things, learn from this man's life. Follow his great example. Like Patrick, we face a mission field that is incredibly pagan and post-Christian. If ever we needed to celebrate what St. Patrick was all about, it's today in the USA. And so how do we do that? Well, that's number two on your outline. Embrace the vision and mission of Stony Creek Church, or SCC for short. What's the SCC equivalent to Patrick's Ireland? What's our Emerald City and our yellow brick road? Well, it goes back to the same place St. Patrick got his mission and vision, and that's Jesus. After Jesus arose from the dead, he arranged a meeting with his disciples. He told them to meet at a mountain in Galilee. It's recorded in Matthew 28. You can open up your Bibles there. I invite you to do that. This was the only meeting that Jesus prearranged after he arose from the dead. All other times Jesus showed up after he was crucified, it was spontaneous. After his resurrection, it was spontaneous. But this meeting, he told them about before he was even crucified. It may even be the occasion that Paul writes about when he refers to Jesus appearing to over 500 people at once. That might have happened right here. This might be the event. But why did it happen in Galilee? Why did he want them to travel all the way from Jerusalem, where they were at that time, back to Galilee, or around 100 miles away from where they were staying? And why on a mountain? What was the purpose of that? We've got, this is a picture. Today, this is Mount Tabor, possibly Tabor. I've heard it both ways. I've never heard that word pronounced in my life. Mount Tabor in Galilee. And tradition says that this is where this meeting took place, this mountain in Galilee. And you can see for miles and miles from here. The tradition says that because Galilee was associated with not only Jews but also Gentiles, the nations of the world, that's the Gentiles, that Jesus was casting his vision to reach the world. And he arranged for this meeting to be on a mountainside where they could see the nations of the world going on for miles and miles. And they would be forced to think big when Jesus said this great commission. And now let's look at it and read it together. Help me out with the yellow print. It says, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And then he told them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And finally, he said, "Surely I am with you always, till the very end of the age." This passage, you can leave it up there, this passage, the Great Commission it's called, this is the basis for our vision and our mission here at Stony Creek Church. There's a place at Stony Creek Park, just up the street a little bit, where you can see all the way down to Detroit. When you climb up on the top of this hill, you can see all the way, you can see there on a clear day, you can see the Rensen down there. And more than once, Randy has taken the SCC leaders, he's taken me up there to that place to show us the view and to show us that this is what our vision is about. It's about reaching our community and beyond. We want to keep going, much like what Jesus did. If you want to know what our vision says, it's right on the back of your program. Just turn your program around and look at the back. It'll also be on the screen here. It says this: our vision is to be a transformed and growing body of Spirit-empowered, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ that is making a vital impact. You want to underline the word impact on your program right now. With the gospel on our community and the world. That key word is that we're making an impact. We're not just meeting to have fun, a nice place, a safe place for your kids to hang out. We want to be making an impact, a vital one, a life or death one on our community and beyond the world. We want to be transformed. Like St. Patrick, our vision is to see the gospel of Jesus Christ impact our world, beginning right here. That means converting people and teaching them the ways of Jesus Christ so that the community begins to change in tangible ways. There are fewer addicts, fewer divorces and violent crimes, more people working, fewer out of work, fewer hungry. To do this, we ourselves have to become what we've been learning about in the Not a Fan series, and that is fully devoted followers of Jesus, just like it says in our vision. A church of followers that is so committed that if you cut us, we would bleed the love of Jesus. And his love becomes infectious to the people around us. And they catch it too. And we want this to be a church where the love of Christ is so thick that it just envelops somebody when they walk in our doors. A church that is a vital army of St. Patrick-like people determined to win people to Jesus. A church that joins with other like-minded churches and missionaries in our area and out of the area so that we can win this community and this nation and beyond to Jesus. That is our vision. That is the vision God has given this church. And it's the Emerald City, and it's far off, but that's what God wants us to look like. That's what he wants us to be, and that's what we continue to work toward. Maybe you're thinking, that's too big. Reach the whole world? Why can't we just reach Utica? Well, no. No, that's not big enough to be a vision from God. That's great. We want to help the people in Utica. That's where it starts. But it's bigger than that because our God is bigger and he's calling us to something bigger. All right, so the next thing we need to look at is following the yellow brick road. That's our mission statement. We learned a little bit about what Patrick was doing, leading people to Christ in Ireland. Let's look at what our mission is. This is what we need to be doing today, what we do right here, right now. And our mission, as it says there on the back of your program, is to make more and better followers of... Oh, sorry, those were yellow. I didn't know they were going to be yellow until I looked up. Let's say that together. Our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus. Yes, that was good. I'm glad he did it that way. In our community and beyond. And the reason we do this is so that God is glorified. You see that there are two operative words, the ones we read together. The more part is making disciples of Jesus. That's the part of the Great Commission. Jesus said, go, make disciples of all nations. That's the more. And then he continued. He said, baptize them, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, to live the way I've told you to live, that I've modeled for you. That's the better part of our mission. That's our yellow brick road. As we do that, everything we do here at Stony Creek Church is about making more and better followers of Jesus. Everything we do contributes to one or both of these things. In our children's ministry, in the youth ministry, in small groups, in the Sunday services, the praise band, the teaching, helping the needy, supporting our missionaries, all of it is contributing to making more and better followers of Jesus. And the bottom line is so that God is glorified. And so let's talk about some ways that we can get started down this yellow brick road today, or continue down the yellow brick road today, depending on where you're at. The first thing, we're going to talk about five commitments or recommitments that you can make. Last thing we'll look at, and then we've got communion here to celebrate. The first one is to follow Jesus. We just did a 6-week series about it, 7 if you include our great testimonies last week. Love and serve him. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He arose from the dead to prove that he is who he said he is, God Almighty. Make a decision to follow him, to entrust yourself to him as your Lord and your Savior. If you've done this, recommit yourself to Jesus. The second commitment is to daily devotions. This is a short, these are the short, I'm rewinding the tape. Now, here we go, play again. This is short for time with God each day, in prayer and in the Word. This is so vital because this is how we connect with God. This is how we grow in our relationship with God as we're following him. We connect with him in prayer and in his Word. If you've never read through the Bible before, that you need to do that. If you're a follower of Christ, you need to have read the Word of God, the whole thing, all right? If you've never done that, or maybe you're just not in the habit of reading through the Word, I encourage you to get started. A great place to start is actually the New Testament. Start in the New Testament and read 1 to 3 chapters a day. Every morning, pick a time. And Randy said it before, and it's not in his notes, but he'd probably say this if he was here now. If you find you don't have time to read the Bible one day, skip a meal and read the Bible instead, because it's more important. The Word of God is even more important than breakfast or lunch or dinner. So skip one of your meals and spend some time in the Word. The third commitment is to commit to SEC membership. We've got the membership class coming up. You want to plug in with this growing body of Spirit-led, fully devoted followers of Christ. If that's what this church is working to be and you want to be that too, plug into that body. I encourage you to do that. We've got the Explorer class coming up. Get signed up for that. You can use your response card. You can talk to someone. Well, use your response card, because if you talk to me, I'm going to forget that somebody said they wanted to do something. That's a bad note. That's the kind of note I used to give my dad when I lived in his house. Somebody called and it's about something. Fill out your response card to sign up for that class. The other thing is to commit to an SCC ministry. A ministry. Are you serving somewhere? If you are, great. Keep serving and give it all you've got, like Patrick gave it all he had. If you're not serving somewhere, get serving somewhere. God built you to be good at something. And he gave you gifts, natural and spiritual gifts. If you're a believer, you have a spiritual gift, something that he wants you to be using in his body to build up more and better followers of Christ. So plug in. And then again, if you don't know exactly what to do, a response card is a great way to figure that out. And you can hand me a response card since we already took the offering. That's what you can do, and I'll get it to the right spot. And then finally, the last commitment that we're going to look at is a commitment to reach the lost. To reach the lost. One of the things we can all do is invite somebody to church to hear the Word of God, and that is great. Keep doing that. Always do that. But it isn't just Randy's job or my job or an evangelist's job to reach the lost. It's every believer's job to go out and make more and better followers of Christ. So I know it can be intimidating. It doesn't come naturally to me either. Go out and share your testimony with people. Tell people why they need Jesus. Go out and reach the lost. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day by following his example 24/7. All right. Well, we're going to have the elders that are helping us with handing out communion, and Jean with on the keys, and we're going to shift into communion here. The thing that changed Patrick's life, that's changed your life if you've trusted in Christ, the thing that's changed my life is the fact that Jesus, who is God, became a human being. And even though I was separated from him by my sin, he died for me on the cross. He took my place of punishment right there up on the cross, because there is a penalty for our sin. And he took it. He died in my place. And that's what we remember with communion. And it's life-changing. And it's so important, and it's so life-changing, and it's the hub of everything we believe, that Jesus gave us a reenactment to remember this over and over again, so that it wouldn't be something that we learned about once a long time ago and then have forgotten about, but something we constantly remember over and over again, because it's the most important thing to us, the most vital thing, that Jesus died for us on the cross, so that if we put our trust in him, we can cross over from death to life, from hell to heaven, from separated from God to a relationship with God. Now, if you've done that, this table is for you. And it's a time for you to remember what Jesus did, to celebrate and remember. If you haven't trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can just pass these elements by. That's fine. Just pass them along when they go. You don't need to say something about yourself that isn't true. Or better yet, way better yet, decide to trust in Christ today. Make a decision today to put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then when you take communion today, that's your way of saying, this is true about me. I am taking Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Do that today. All right, let's pray, and then we'll take these elements one at a time. If maybe this is your first time having communion here at Stony, we usually wait to take it all together. So just hold on to the elements when they come by, and then we're going to read some scripture and take them together. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the example of St. Patrick, a man that I can only imagine it being in his situation, I would grow to hate the people that I was a slave to, and to hate their wicked, false religion, and what was really just demon worship, if you take off the disguise. And boy, when he got free, he could have just studied in Rome, became a priest, and had it all set, but he risked everything to follow the vision you gave him. He saw these children reaching out to him that were lost and that were being raised by lost people, and he did something about it. He went there to tell them about Jesus, where they could have freedom, where they could escape the traps that they were in, and they could have freedom for you. And Lord, I thank you so much that it worked, that you went with him, just as it says in the Great Commission, that Jesus will be with us to the end of the age. And he went with Patrick. The Holy Spirit went with Patrick. And great things were accomplished. Ireland was won for Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for our vision that we have. We thank you that you give us a vision that is very, very much the same, to reach the people around us to the ends of the earth for Christ. And I pray that we, like Patrick, would jump on that vision and pursue it with everything we've got. Lord, one of the number one reason that I get excited to reach people for you is because you came to earth to reach me. You died on a cross for me. And I'm so thankful. I want to go out and tell everybody I meet about it. Lord, I pray that you would give us that desire all the time, and that by reflecting on what you did for us here with this bread, with this juice, to remember your broken body and your poured out blood, I pray it would motivate us to go out and tell people the great sacrifice you made to bring us back to you, even when we walked away. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.